Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.
Well, welcome to Mind Food Radio, and our very first edition in 2014 is our March edition. Well, I say the first one for us because, of course, the January-February issue we worked on in 2013, but we love our very first one, our March edition, because it includes future beauty. And it's all about, I guess, for us, stargazing and crystal ball gazing and really reporting on all the new trends and things that are coming up for the future. So I'd like to welcome to the show Mind Food's beauty director, Liz Hancock. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Michael.
This, I think, really is our best guide that we've done since we've launched.
Thank you. You know, it's pretty easy when you get to write about such interesting topics and products and launches. And it, for me, it's very exciting because I get to do some, as you say, crystal ball gazing and some dreaming and get excited about what the year has to hold for us all.
Now, what are the big trends? And first of all, I really want to start on skincare because skincare, as we know in the magazine and on Mind Food, is such a huge area that our readers are really interested in. Tell us what the future trends of skincare are.
I think things are starting to get very exciting. I've noticed over the past couple of years a real shift towards skincare that is really actually making great changes to your skin, both internally and also visibly. And I think a lot of the launches this year are starting to bring that to the market. So one of the categories that did come out a few years ago but is being revitalized is the whole category of blur now. Blur products were created as a response to HD, high-definition television, which obviously puts every line, wrinkle and pore out there for all to see. And these products are, I guess, you know, some would call polyfiller, but they're a way of very cleverly, optically diffusing light so it doesn't shadow and pull in any wrinkled lines or kind of scars that you have on your face. And L'Oreal are really revitalizing this category. So one of the first and most exciting launches, which I have to say this week I finally got my hands on the product, is Lancôme's Visionaire 1 Minute Blur, which is a sort of a smoothing product that you put on, kind of like a primer, and it just makes your skin look just even and corrected. And what I found I loved and I just kept going back to was putting my foundation on afterwards. It just kind of slides on like I was saying, like cream on a baby's butt. It really does. It doesn't kind of snag. And I think these products are marrying with really clever foundations. So you're getting the skincare properties in them. And I think it's been revitalized by a lot of the BB cream and CC cream launches. Companies are starting to realize that women, you know, don't necessarily want all of the really big tricks that are taking things like crow's feet and all of the lines and wrinkles. What we want is skin that just looks perfect, beautiful and glowing with health. And it really doesn't get more complicated than that. And so we're seeing these foundations and products like the Blur that are really genuinely helping to achieve this for women. So I think that's really exciting.
It's interesting, isn't it, though, in a billion-dollar industry like cosmetics, how all of a sudden, you know, names like BB cream and CC cream for a standard consumer sort of come from nowhere and now they're just common knowledge.
Absolutely. And the CC cream, you know, obviously the BB cream thing started and then just absolutely peaked and hit a tipping point, and then we started getting the CC creams. And, you know, amazingly, the launches and conversations I'm having with brands now about products coming out for the second half of 2014 are more CC creams. So, you know, really our thirst for these products is growing rather than waning. And now we're getting kind of DD creams, ZZ creams, lots of crazy launches.
Like it does seem a bit crazy, though. Are they just gimmicks? Are they marketing sort of ploy?
Some of them are. Some of them definitely are. But some of them are just tapping into that thing that women don't want their lives made more complicated. They want their lives made easier. So if you can have one product that does your great, you know, has all of your great skincare actions in it, tick. It has your high sun protection in it, tick. It has your optical smoothers, such as the blue properties, so your primers and their tick. And hey, let's chuck some pigment in there, and there's your foundation. So you've got one product and go. And then if you want a little bit more coverage, you can go in with concealer or add a bit more foundation over the top. It really is that thing of beauty companies finally, I guess, making women's lives easier, not harder, and giving them what they want, which is just great-looking skin.
Now, what about sunscreen and products and stuff? Is that just now the norm? Because, you know, where we live in the world, it's horrific. And I remember years ago, I was in a major presentation from a big American cosmetic company, and I put my hand up and said, but what about sunscreen? Because in this part of the world, and they looked at me as if I was talking, Russian or something.
Out of space.
Exactly. How are they now pretty much just given and they're throughout product?
It really has become like that. I mean, I spent, 15 years living in the UK where it's not such an issue, but still the message over there was, wear your daily sunscreen. And finally, I think America has, as you say, come to the party and realised actually this is quite a big concern to a lot of women. Obviously, in Asia, it's a huge concern, and because I think now, because it's starting to economically make sense for the beauty companies to put high-level sunscreens in, obviously China is exploding, and in the Asian market, whether we agree with it or not, it is seen as being desirable to have milky white skin, and they really believe in sun protection, high sun protection, and whether it's wearing hats all of the time, carrying umbrellas, making sure your skincare, your foundation has these really high sun protection.
And even Estee Lauder, they've created or launched their own dedicated Asian skin brand now, haven't they?
They have, yeah, called, I think it is, Asayo.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of beauty companies really starting to cater to this market. And quite excitingly, I went over to Tokyo with Shiseido recently. I was very lucky to be taken over there. And I got to speak to one of the most inspirational people that I have interviewed. He is an American dermatologist and melanoma expert who's based at Harvard University in the Massachusetts General Hospital there, which is Harvard University's big sort of research hospital. And he heads up his job description as our subs department was saying was, my God, I don't think I've ever seen such a long job description. He's the head of this and the chief of that. And but one of the things he does is he's the director of the melanoma program at the Massachusetts General Hospital's Cancer Center. And he is considered one of the world's leading melanoma experts. And what I loved about him was he was just so excited and passionate about this area of sun protection and also, repair after sun damage has happened. And he was sort of telling me about the fact that 2 years ago, if you had developed melanoma, it kind of was, there wasn't much hope for you. Whereas now there is all of this breaking research and development happening, which is really actually starting to give people genuine hope. They're researching in lots and lots of different areas, but they have an agreement with the Shiseido, which goes back quite a long way, where they share their research. So his department will do lots of leading edge research, and then they'll share their findings with Shiseido, and then Shiseido actually going and figure out in their labs how to actually turn that into products that help people to protect their skin or help people to repair any damage that happens.
It's the one thing about Shiseido. I remember I went there to Japan many years ago and met with some of them up there, and I couldn't believe how big that company was, but also the range of products that they only have in Japan.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite, it really is sort of the L'Oreal of Japan in lots of ways, isn't it?
It really is, but with cake. I think most impressed by is they have the Shiseido Parlor, which is an entire cake shop by Shiseido, with Shiseido's gorgeous little camellia logo on all of these beautiful pastries and biscuits. And one of the other things I got really excited about, which I kept saying, this trend has to go global. Why is this only in Asia? Is the jelly drinks. So they are really huge on jelly drinks in Japan, and I know in Korea they are as well. But Shiseido has quite a few little jelly pouches or kind of sippy cups with big straws that are these beauty jellies that you drink, and they have all sorts of antioxidants, skincare benefits, kind of ingredients in them. And so you sit there and you sip this and you... You can feel your skin sucking in it. I'm sure you can. I'm sure it's not psychosomatic at all.
Do you think that's a sort of a step on from, you know, taking a pill that kind of, you know, I guess operates inside and out? Is that just an extension of that concept, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. And I do predict nutraceuticals. Obviously, we've had beauty supplements on the market for quite a long time, but nutraceuticals are going to become huge. And these kind of ingestible... skincare, ingestible, everything that goes above and beyond just sort of taking your important GLA oils and antioxidant ingredients, I think will transform into products that are just kind of nicer to have. So, you know, we've had a few beauty drinks and beauty waters that have hit the market, particularly in Europe, and I think that will kind of spread more, you know, and I guess I'm sort of predict we'll have muesli bars and just things that people, if I start with supplements, I kind of get a few weeks in, I just get sick of taking them, so then I forget, and we have a lovely little cupboard in our kitchen that is our supplements cupboard that, you know, gathers dust and accumulates. So I think if you make products more pleasurable for people to eat and drink, then, you know, they will take them. But one of the things I was going to tell you guys about was, this idea of ingestible cosmetics. I was speaking to a company who is a Paris-based beauty trends website, and they do a lot of research kind of globally, and they are called, why have I forgotten their name, Beauty Streams, thank you. they were telling me about that L'Oreal are going to be launching an anti-grey hair pill, not this year, but next year, which absolutely blows my mind that you could just take a pill and it's going to sort out your grey hair issues.
I love grey hair. I hope that doesn't go well.
So do I. But I guess for those people who detest it and have to spend, you know, a couple of hours in the salon every sort of 8 weeks, we'll just be dancing in the streets over the idea of this. They were telling me about, you know, that they predict there will be sort of edible skincare treatments things that change, you know, hair colour or eye colour. And apparently there are already eatable deodorants and perfumes on the market. But, so you eat something and it comes out of your skin.
I've noticed even over the last couple of years or so, there's that real sort of focus on superfood for skincare, isn't there? You know, using... I don't know, pomegranates and you know, really rich sort of superfood ingredients.
Definitely, and this is something, and a little kind of, I guess, preview into our next issue, but something that I have been doing recently. I visited a new retreat in Queenstown called the Araha Wellness Retreat, and that just gave me the boot up the bottom I needed going into the new year to kind of ditch my long-held and much-loved addiction to sugar and also start eating a lot more leafy greens. They were telling me you should be eating about 40% leafy greens in your diet every day.
That's a whole lot of rabbit food, I'm sorry.
It is, but I tell you what, my skin... Michael, honestly, you won't know me. You'll probably walk past me the next time I see you. The impact it's had on my skin is incredible. So I think once you experience something like that, you go, wow, actually, these superfoods, there is something in them. They do actually work.
Hey, Liz, thank you very much for being on today's show. That's Liz Hancock, our beauty director at Mind Food. And there's a brand new issue that's about to hit the market, and it's got, of course, our 2014 Future Beauty Guide in it. For more details, go to mindfood.com.
Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.